Today is the third Sunday of Advent, and the epistle is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Philippians. Brethren, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your modesty be known to all men. The Lord is nigh. Be nothing solicitous, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel, taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 1. At that time, the Jews sent from Jerusalem priests and Levites to John to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and did not deny, and he confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he said, "I am not." "Art thou the prophet?" And he answered, "No." They said therefore unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And they that were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said to him, "Why then dost thou baptize, if thou be not Christ, nor Elias, nor the prophet?" And John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water. But there hath stood one in the midst of you, whom you know not. The same is he that shall come after me, who is preferred before me, the latchet of whose shoe I am not worthy to loose." These things were done in Bethania beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. So the words of today's Holy Gospel. "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." These words are taken from today's Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Many years ago, during the gold rush of California, a baby was born in a western mining town. His mother was the only woman in the place, and she died soon after the child's birth. The miners decided to keep the child and take care of him as best they could. The little one was lying in an old box and was wrapped in rags torn from old clothes. The miners realized they couldn't leave the baby like that. If they were going to keep the baby, they had to care for him as if he really belonged to them, as if he were their own baby. So the men got to work. One of the miners rode 80 miles on a mule to Sacramento, California, and bought a complete set of baby clothes and a beautiful rosewood cradle. But the clean white cradle was too much of a contrast to the dirty floors and the grimy walls of the mining cabin where the baby was kept. So the men scrubbed and whitewashed the place. On sunny days, they took the infant outdoors for a nap in the air and the sun. But they realized that outside there was dirt and debris all around. So the men removed the garbage and planted shrubs and flowers where the dirt and garbage had been. And with the house and grounds neat and clean, the men began to clean themselves. When they came in from work, they changed their clothes, washed, and shaved. They had never cared about their appearance before, but now they even purchased a few mirrors for the place. This was something that was unthinkable before that baby came. And as they did not want to disturb the baby, they made a rule against unnecessary noise. They quit yelling and shouting. They also quit cursing and swearing. In no time, Roaring Camp, as it had once been called, was changed into a clean, orderly camp. Before, it had been a place of filth and disorder, but now it was known for its peace, kindness, and courtesy. And all of this was done because of the influence of one baby. My dear faithful, in today's Gospel, St. John the Evangelist relates that the Pharisees sent priests and Levites into the desert to inquire who John the Baptist really was. You see, John the Baptist had attracted much attention by his preaching in the desert. He told the multitudes to practice penance for the remission of their sins. He told them to practice penance in order to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. Now, in answer to the question as to who he was, he told the priests and Levites that he was the precursor of our Lord. In other words, he was to announce the public life of Christ. And he did this by echoing the words of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah about the coming Messiah. And these words which Isaiah had spoken and which John the Baptist now repeated were, "I am the voice of one crying in the desert, make straight the way of the Lord." St. John the Baptist was telling the people to prepare by penance for the coming of our Lord. They were to make straight his paths so that at his coming he might enter and take possession of their hearts. This command to make straight the way of the Lord is founded on an Eastern custom. When kings would visit their distant lands, messengers were sent ahead of them to make sure that the roads were prepared and that all things were ready for the royal procession into the town. And it is to this custom that Isaiah refers when he says, "Make straight the way of the Lord." Isaiah had seen in a prophetic vision that John the Baptist was to be sent before the Messiah. He knew that St. John's mission was to help men remove anything that was an obstacle to Christ's coming. St. John was preparing the people to receive Christ at the beginning of his public life. But these words apply in the same way to us today. And that is why Holy Mother Church has chosen this gospel for the third Sunday of Advent. Advent is meant to be a time of preparation for Christ's coming on Christmas. It is a time for us to prepare by making straight the way of the Lord. And one of the main ways we can make our Lord's path to our hearts and souls smooth is through the practice of charity. For it is this very virtue of charity that moved God to become a man. He became a man for love and out of love for us. He was born that he might save us from our sins. And to do this, he poured out his precious blood upon the cross and paid the price for sin. He was born to die. And he died for love of us. And thus he gave us the supreme example of charity. Let us then welcome him with charity. Let us make a return of that great love that he gave to us in being born for us. This means we must strive to establish his love in our homes. Make his kindness, his gentleness, and his charity reign in our home and in our hearts. This must be done by husbands and wives, by parents and children. Husbands, you must show your wives kindness and respect, especially in front of the children. Be considerate of your wife and appreciate all the work she does. And likewise, wives must be faithful to their duties, as our Blessed Lady was. A wife can show her love for her husband by diligently performing her duties well. And parents, support each other's decisions, especially in front of the children. Children, you must be obedient, respectful to your parents. Your obedience should be prompt and cheerful. Obey your parents as you would obey God himself, for your parents stand in his place. Never be disrespectful to your parents, and this includes not complaining or talking back when asked to do something. And you must also be charitable toward your brothers and sisters by not arguing or fighting or trying to annoy them. My dear faithful, the home where charity reigns is a home modeled after the Holy Family. We are Catholics, but we must not be Catholics in name only. We must be Catholics in word and in deed. Just as the little baby in the mining camp changed the gruff men and roaring camp itself into a more pleasant spot, may our preparations for the baby Jesus change our hearts and souls. May our heart be a more charitable dwelling place for the divine infant this Christmas. And the greatest preparation we can make is a humble and sincere confession and the devout reception of Holy Communion. Let us therefore be solicitous and prepare our hearts for the coming of the child Jesus. This is a very busy time of year, and we can easily fail in our charity toward our family amidst the busyness. But don't forget the reason behind our being so busy. There is nothing wrong with buying Christmas presents or planning your Christmas dinner. The point is not to neglect our Lord amidst all these preparations, but rather make him your first priority by being charitable to your neighbor. When we show charity and kindness and patience to our family and friends, we thereby prove our love for God. With the few days left for this preparation, let us recollect and practice the one virtue our Lord so earnestly sought to instill in our hearts by his example. Let us especially practice charity in our homes. Let us practice charity which is patient, kind, humble, and obedient. And as I mentioned, prepare now to receive our Lord in Holy Communion on Christmas Day by making a good confession. Just as the baby in the mining camp could change the men and make such a difference, may our Lord's coming at Christmas be a source of grace to change our lives for the better. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.